We are considering angels again. Angels in Scripture are a most intriguing study. I confess, I'm really enjoying studying the angels. So we're turning to the chapter on angels, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, please. We have read about the angels singing in Luke chapter 2. So now in Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to see something of what the Lord tells us about the angels. We're beginning to read in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. It is as though the Lord would put a big dot right there. Listen to what I have spoken through my Son. Oh yes, there were good things in the Old Testament. But now don't live in the shadows. The substance is here. Notice verse 2. By His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, the exact image, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Wow, there He is, upholding all things by the word of His power, and seated there at the right hand of power. Verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels He saith, who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said He at any time, Sit on My right hand until I make Thine enemies Thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Amen. Certainly it is true. The angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for us who are the heirs of salvation. Praise His name. We trust that He'll bless His word to all our hearts today. Let us pray. O God, our Father in heaven, we depend upon Thee. We pray that Thou wilt breathe upon us along with Thy Son, the Holy Ghost. We pray that Our understanding would not be according to the words which man's wisdom teacheth. But Lord, we pray that Thou wilt cause us to know the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How utterly awesome is the sovereign providence of Almighty God. His way is perfect. His timing is perfect. God in His good providence has brought us in our study of the larger catechism in the month of December to consider the angels. Now, isn't that a coincidence? I didn't plan that. I didn't purpose that. It was the doing of the Lord. The Lord has moved us along in our study of the substandards. And we've been studying question number 16. Angels will be considered again in number 19, number 56, number 88, number 89, and number 192. Angels all through the larger catechism. Amazing. Now, 2 weeks ago on Sunday evening, we began our study of angels. And it has been an extreme pleasure for me to have the privilege of studying the Reformers and the Puritans on the angels. And so I am compelled this morning to return to look a little at the ministry of the holy angels. It was the old Puritan John Trapp who said, "The first preachers of the gospel in the New Testament were angels. But God took that honor from the angels and gave it to men." What a privilege we have to give the gospel, the good news. Old Trapp said that in 1647. It's still good for us today. The first preachers of the gospel in the New Testament were the angels, even before John the Baptist. Now, Gabriel, you remember, brought the news to Zacharias and to Mary that John and Jesus would be born. Very interesting that the angels in the Luke chapter 2 that we read earlier, the angels evangelized the shepherds. The Greek word is euangelion. Very interesting. Euangelion is the very basis of our word evangel, evangelistic, evangelical. All of those come from this Greek word. The angels were giving these glad tidings, euangelion. And it had been the epangelion in the Old Testament. It had been the promise in the Old Testament, which is Epangelion, but now the gospel is realized through the birth of Messiah Jesus. So this morning, let us see that a great part of the ministry of angels is that of praising God in song. We're going to look at that in particular. The angels of God. We want to look at the history of their songs, plural, and the mystery of the Savior, and then the ministry that the angels have to the saints, their ministry to the saints. So those three things. First of all, we see the history of their songs. The history of their songs goes back to the oldest book in the Bible, which is not the book of Genesis. The oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. Job says in chapter 38 and verse 7 of his book, when the foundations of this earth were laid, Job tells us the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Who are these stars? Stars are definitely the symbols of angels sometimes in the scriptures. Look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20. In Revelation 1:20, the stars are the angels. Okay. Both the sons of God as well as the stars in Job 38:7 were believed to be angels by those old great commentators. And so the angels were singing at the creation. Singing during the creation. This certainly supports the belief that the angels were created on the first day, or very early in the creation. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 14, the angels were praising God at the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. Are we to think that these angels were actually singing those words, or were they chanting in the Gregorian fashion? Well, that night, above the shepherds, I believe we can understand from Scripture that they were indeed singing. Here are some biblical reasons why the angels were singing and not just opening their mouths and speaking in a nice little chant. Usually, when a multitude of angels are together, they are praising. Psalm 148, verse 2, let all the angels of God praise. Okay, now then, that praise is normally given in song. We're going to see that from the Scriptures. The angels in the book of Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, joined in the singing of the new song. And the song that was being sung was very much like the one that had previously been sung there in Revelation. And by the millions, the angels were singing. It's very, very interesting there that it says 10,000 times 10,000. That's 100 million angels. And then it says thousands of thousands. Throw in a few more millions. Just, you know, that's very, very great. I believe they were singing their praise. Why? Why? Because God commands in the Scripture His praises to be sung. I'm going to give you some references. This is only a sampling where God commands that His praises be sung. Not just spoken, but sung. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 13. And then throughout the Psalms, you find it in Psalm 9, verse 11. Psalm 47, verses 6 and 7. Psalm 33, verse 2. Psalm 66, verse 2. Psalm 68, verse 4. Psalm 135, verse 3. Psalm 150. Psalm, I'm going to just turn to one of these, or two. Psalm 33, verse 2. Here's the command. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Wow. That's the command of God. God commanded His praises to be sung. Therefore, I believe, since when you get the multitude of angels together, they're usually, when they're in multitude, singing. So I believe that the angels were singing and praising God in Luke chapter 2, verse 13. That's a little history of their songs. Let's notice, secondly, the mystery of the Savior. What were they singing about? They were singing about the Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The apostle says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of true religion, he is saying. What is the mystery? God was manifest in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. There is the beginning of the great mystery of true religion. How can God be manifest in a human nature? That verse goes on to say that He was seen of angels. Seen of angels. In fact, the holy angels were totally mystified and so amazed that they could hardly take their eyes off of the Son. They were amazed that God would assume lowly human flesh to live for lowly human sinners in this world and to die for lowly human sinners. The angels were gazing at God incarnate with such consternation they couldn't take their eyes off Him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 tells us more about what the angels are thinking about what Jesus is doing down here. What is God the Son doing down here? 1 Peter 1:12, this gospel sent down from heaven to human sinners was something the holy angels, here's the wording in 1 Peter 1:12, desired to look into. Pretty simple in English. It's not that simple in the Greek. It has a very powerful meaning. It was not simply a matter of curiosity for them. The angels were given the special charge of guarding and keeping the Messiah. Who tells us that? He was telling the truth. Satan knew that. Matthew chapter 4, verse 6. Matthew says, you know, it's okay. Jump off of here, you know, because he's going to give his angels charge over thee. He didn't quote the whole thing, but he quoted some of it. Now, how long had Satan known this? How long had he known that? That's something I want you to remember because we're going to come back to that. But the holy angels were intrigued with the gospel of Christ. They desired to look into it. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:12. I want to think about this a little more. They were so intrigued with it that they wanted to investigate this awesome salvation very closely and particularly. The word means that they were stooping down and looking into it as the disciples, when they got to the empty tomb, they stooped down and they were looking in. They wanted to see. They wanted to know fully what was going on. The angels were stooping down to look very intensely into the matter of man's redemption by the sufferings of Christ. And they were astounded at the everlasting glory that would follow the triumphant Christ, which He earned by redeeming such lowly worms and raising them to His highest throne, even above the position of the elect angel. Now, there's something to think about. The angels were so inquisitive. You mean He'll come down here? All this great universe that He's made. And out here is a little speck. And He will become united to a tiny little speck on this speck in order to die for these rotten, ungodly, rebellious sinners. And to raise them to His throne. Remember what we read here in Hebrews 1? Unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee. Hebrews 1:5. This is a definite reference to Christ, the eternally begotten Son of the Father. But do you realize it has an application to every regenerated, graciously begotten, and adopted child of God and son of God? Every regenerate child of God is raised to the glorious position of being with Christ on His throne, in Him, exalted above all the angels. Did you know that? The angels are only around the throne of Christ. But every believer is enthroned in and with Christ in His exaltation. We are kings and priests unto God in Christ. Revelation 5:10. That is never said about an angel. Angels being kings and priests. Saved sinners by grace are made to sit in the heavenlies in and with Christ on the throne. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. That's what it means. He has raised us to be seated with Him right there in the heavenlies. Are you beginning to see something of our great salvation? The wonder of this salvation? Bringing us into a position, into a place that is higher even than the good angels? In order to gain this for us, God the Son was made lower than the angels for a time. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 7 says, Thou madest Him a little lower than the angels. What a big step for God the Son to take to come down here. Lower than angels. To become the servant of Jehovah for us. Wow. I ask you to remember a question from Matthew 4:6. Where there, Satan knew that the elect angels were guardians and protectors of Jesus Christ. I ask you again, how long had Satan known that? I don't know. For some time, I have wondered why those highly intelligent beings would fall from their first estate. They weren't dummies. Why would they fall from their first estate? Jude 6 speaks of them. No longer in that first estate. They left that habitation. The Bible tells us that they did fall. They lost that estate. God does not tell us right up front why. But we know from Isaiah chapter 14 that Lucifer, that fallen angel, was full of what? Ego and pride. I'll say something else after I get through saying, I. That's all he can say. I will do this. I'm going to be the top one. Okay. Ego and pride took Lucifer down. Now, I'm not dogmatic about this point, but I wonder if that large number of angels who fell by joining in with Lucifer, Satan, fell by the same kind of thing. Ego and pride in a matter, something like Satan did. How did Satan know that the elect angels were Christ's guardians and keepers? Did the fallen angels, even before their fall, know how high God would raise redeemed sinners above the angels? I don't know that they knew that. But they may have. Did the fallen angels know that celestial beings like themselves would be in some manner servants? As we read here in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. All right, now you think about that. Christ said, who's the greatest one among you? Your minister, your servant. Okay. So isn't it amazing that God would cause those celestial beings to serve us? To minister to our needs? Did those angels know that? Did they let their egos and their pride destroy themselves by rebelling and refusing to serve elect sinners, saved from their rotten iniquities? Was all this below proud angels? Was all of this below their dignity? I don't know, but it could have been. We know that Satan fell by pride and by ego. Okay. Now, we come last of all. This brings us to our final thought, the ministry of the elect angels to the saints. Their ministry to the saints. Hebrews 1:4. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And I have to confess, I got help from another old Puritan here. It was old John Owen. John Owen goes down the list, and he goes into a lot of things. But I'm going to share with you 7 of the things that he says these angels are doing for us. Okay. God, who spared not His own Son, also sends some of the most glorious angels to care for His people. Isn't that wonderful? How do the elect angels help and serve the heirs of salvation? Here's the first thing. Many times, the angels have delivered messages from God to His people. Gabriel did this. The angels in Luke chapter 2 were giving them glad tidings of great joy. An angel spoke to Peter in prison. Time to get up and get out of here. An angel spoke to the women at Christ's tomb. He's not here. He's risen. Go tell His disciples. Many people in the Old Testament, of course, were directed in the will of God by angels. But let us know. Paul warns New Testament believers not to believe an angel from heaven unless he speaks according to the truth of the biblical gospel. Galatians chapter 1. And that'll do away with a whole lot of these things that you hear. An angel told me this. Okay. All right. The second thing that angels do for the heirs of salvation, those of us who grew up on the old televised cartoons like Popeye the Sailor Man, you can remember the white angel on one shoulder and the dark angel on the other shoulder. There's some truth to that, the great Puritan theologian John Owen tells us. that while Satan tempts us to evil, the good angels provoke us to do good. How do they do that? By holy suggestion. The third thing, the angels not only deliver messages and provoke us to do good, but thirdly, they protect us from ruin and preserve us from danger. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The angels actually protect and care for and preserve the people of God. Fourthly, the angels help the saints by harassing, restraining, and tormenting the devil. Their work makes Satan jealous because he realizes he could now be ministering to the saints instead of being a companion of filthy demons like he is. The fifth thing that Owen says the angels do, the angels are witnesses who are with us to see our obedience, to see our suffering, and to see our worship. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9, the Apostle Paul said that the suffering of the apostles really made spectacles unto the angels. The angels were watching all the suffering. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10, the woman in public worship is to have the symbol of authority on her head. Why? Because of the angels present in the worship services. Sixthly, the angels avenge us of our enemies, just like the angel smote Herod in Acts chapter 12. Remember how wicked he was? He slew James with the sword, and then he took Peter. And then the angel of the Lord smote Herod, and he was eaten of worms and died. The seventh thing, the angels carry the departed soul of the believer to be with the Lord at death. Luke chapter 16. Now, we're going to conclude. Surely Almighty God sent the multitude of angels to the shepherds to convince them that Christ was indeed come into the world. And the fact that Christ would come to save lost people while not saving lost angels ought to convince us of the greatness and the particular nature of God's great grace and love for us lowly sinners. The awesome providence of God amazes me that God chose this month in our study of the larger catechism to bring us to the angels. I certainly didn't plan it. And child of God, you can trust completely in the God of providence. Are you suffering a trial? Are you suffering even a great trial? Are you suffering a hard trial? Then you can be assured that the great God of providence will not let your trial continue 1 hour longer than He wisely deems to be absolutely necessary. God's providence is so perfect. When God commanded His praise to be sung, it was not just to angels. The command is to you and to me also. God intends to bless, to strengthen, to edify, to sanctify, to fill us with joy through singing. Do you ever sing on your own? You ever do any singing when you're not in church? We are also to bless and to encourage others by our energetic singing. God is God. His purposes cannot fail. His kingdom shall prevail in time and in eternity. If you're sad, if you're cast down, if you're depressed with your chin bumping on your kneecaps, you need to sing. You need to praise God. If you refuse to praise God, if you refuse to give Him thanks, it's sin. It's disobedience. It is sin. God commands it. It is not a vain exercise. It is good for all of God's children. And now, the last thought, as it applies to us. Pride and ego destroyed Lucifer. And pride and ego will ruin you for time and for eternity. Unless, through Christ, you learn to die to yourself. Have you learned what Christ meant when He said that if a man does not deny himself, he cannot be my disciple? The modern self-esteem movement is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord be pleased to turn our thoughts away from ourselves so that we may direct our prayers to Him. God made all things for His own glory. And none of His whole created universe can compare with His only begotten incarnate Son. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Let us pray. Oh God, how can we begin to praise Thee and to adequately thank Thee for who Thou art? Thou art so great, so good, so wise, so powerful, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in Thy being. Oh God, we thank Thee that even though Thou didst ignore the angels that sinned, Thou didst not ignore us away down here on this lowly planet. We praise Thee that Thou wouldst bankrupt heaven. Heaven bereft of the shining Son of God in order to be here, incarnated for us. Oh, we thank Thee. And Lord, we praise Thee that Thou hast even done this good thing for the angels, giving the elect angels the privilege of serving others. Lord, we thank Thee for the service that they render for us, the help that we have even suspected at times was not coming from the depths of our own personal goodness. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy grace, and we pray that Thou wilt write Thy truth upon our hearts. Deliver us from pride and ego. We pray that Thou wilt help us to trust Thy perfect providence. Lord, teach us to praise Thee and to sing Thy praise and to encourage our own hearts and the hearts of others in this very weary world. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.